Okay, we are on Beis Amud Beis. And we are about 7 or 8 lines in the bottom. Tani Yoshimim Ben Gamliel Oimer. So, says the Gemara like this. Tani Yoshimim Ben Gamliel Oimer. Mitzvahs ha-noigais ba'adar sheni einan noigais barishin chutz mi-hesped v'tainis. The mitzvahs which apply in Adar Sheni do not apply in Adar Rishon, chutz mi-hesped v'tainis. The exception is hesped and tainis. Shehin shavin b'zeh u'b'zeh. They apply equally in Adar Rishon also. Meaning to say that on... we are in Beis Amud Beis, and we're about 5-6 lines from the bottom. So we've said that the mitzvahs which apply on Adar Sheni do not apply in Adar Rishon. The exception is Hesped and Tainis. Shehin Shavin Bezeh Ubezeh. They apply equally in Adar Rishon, meaning to say that there's an Isser to be Maspid and there's an Isser to be Mis'aneh on Yudalad and Tezvov of Adar Rishon. Rebbe Bo, Rebbe Yirmiya B'Shem Rav, Rebbe Simon B'Shem Rebbe Shua Ben Levi, Halacha K'Revshim Mingamliel. We ask him like Revshim Mingamliel, that this then applies in Adar Rishon. Rav Huna Rabba de Tzipayrin Omar, Hinig Rav Chisda de Tzipayrin Kahada de Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. So he said that Hinig, and we'll see in a minute what this Lashon of Hinig, he accustomed everyone to doing so. He was Hinig in Tzipayrin, this psak, this ruling of Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, that one is not maspid, one is not misana, one doesn't fast on Yudalad and Tezvav of Adorations. The Gemara's Medayik, Lo Omar Ela Hinhig. He only said Hinhig, that he accustomed everyone to doing so. Hala Halacha Loi. But he did not say that that's the actual Halacha. So maybe let's look at one Tiklin Chazatin, and we'll also look at the Mishnas Eliyahu. So if you look at the two lines in the bottom, Avol Halacha Loi, says the Tiklin, V'nafka mina da halacha darshin bepirka. If the Gemara says that this is the halacha, then we will publicize it in the shir, darshin bepirka. U min haga, if something is a minhag, then bepirka le darshinan. We won't publicize it in the shir. Avol eruye meirinan. But if a yachid, an individual, comes and they have a shayla, we will inform them, we will paskin in such a way. Like we say in the Talmud Bavli, in Tainus and Chavov. So, if you look at the Mishnah Seliyo over here, the second to last piece, he says, Hinig Refchiz, the Tainus over there in Chavov. I mean, if it's a Minig, Midrashli Dershinin, Eruye Meirinin. So that is if it says Halacha, and if it says Minig. What about Nohagu? Nohagu, and you find this also in the Ramah, the different Lashonis as to if the Minig is like this or Nohagu. So, Nohagu, we said, Nohagu, Eruya Leimirinen. If it's Nohagu, then we won't even paskin that way. The Ovid Leimahadrinen Le. But if one actually goes and acts in that way, based on what the minhag is, we will not tell them to retract. It is okay. So he says, so one would think that the lashon of hinhig is on par with, is similar to nagu. Aval midika amar hacha loy amar ela hinhig hala halacha loy. And the fact that the Gemara says that the distinction is hinig as opposed to halacha, meaning it's just short of, it's just shy of the actual term of halacha, mid the Gemara halacha, lo yamer ela hinig halacha lo yishma mina de hinig hu kamei minag. So hinig has the same connotation as minag, de nagu, hainu mele nagu, and so on, the eno ikar. So there is this interesting discussion, and again, as we mentioned, you find in the Ramah very often, and the Achronim are Medayik. If the Ramah says the Minig is like this, or Nogu, which one is Lechatchila, this is our Minig, this is what they happen to do, but Lav Dafka, this is the best thing to do, and so on. So it's a similar discussion over here.
So, if it is not halacha, how come is the minhag to do it like that? I mean, he's got the minhag to do it that way, but it's not halacha.
Right, the question is, if it's not the halacha, the fact that it's a minhag to do it this way, how does that work? Why does that work? So we know the Gemara says already that minhag is oikr halacha, that a minhag can be oikr a halacha, meaning even if the psak halacha is one way, if the minhag is another way, at times it can be oikr halacha, and you know and that means to say even if halachically speaking the best thing to do is to do X, but if the minhag is to do Y, Then we have many examples of this in halacha. Mm-hmm. And there's Yerushalmi, Mitzvah Chalitza, we've quoted before several times, actually, I think, it says in Mitzvah Chalitza, if Elio Anavi were to come and say, Rabbi Yisrael, you've got it all wrong. Why are you doing Chalitza with a sandal? You should do it with a shoe. Ein Shemin Loi, Shikvar Nogu Yisrael Besandal. The Minhag Yisrael is to do it with a sandal, and therefore the Minhag remains. Good. When it comes to shtaros, we'll just go with the girsa of the Gra. Aval le'inyan shtaros kaisvin ader rishon va'ader sheni stam. So we're discussing over here the differences between ader rishon and ader sheni. When it comes to shtaros, what do you write in a shtar? What do you write in a get? What do you write in a ksub and so on? So for Adar Rishon, you write Adar Rishon. Whereas when it comes to Adar Sheni, you write Stam. You write it Stam. And the Mishnah Zaliyahu says, V'chein Pasek HaRambam, V'tur Shulchan Aruch in Chesh Mishpat. That is how we paskin, that the Ikra one is the Adar Sheni and so on. Rebbe Yehuda Eimer, no, Adar Rishon is Stam. Adar Sheni Tinyan. That's the one you actually need to say that it is Adar Sheni. Good. So we go back to that which we said in the Mishnah. We said that Bereish Chedesh Adar, we said Mashmiyim Ala Shkolim, and we said Ala Kilayim, and then Ube Chamisha Asabai Kernes Megillah Bekrachim, Umesakenes Adrachim. They would fix up the roads, and we said that the reason why they did this, we said in the Tikkun Chazitin, one of two reasons. Either they did this to facilitate the aliyah of the Oile Regel, or they did it in order to ensure that a Reitzeach B'Shoigeg would be able to find the Ir Miklat based on the Pasuk of Tachin Lecha Haderech, that one needs to do whatever one can in order to prepare a Derech for the Reitzeach. So we said Misakin Es Hadrachim. So again, there's lots of changes with the Girsais over here. The Girsa of the Gra is Misakin Es Hadrachim Taman Taninin. Over there we learnt. And this is a reference to Mayit Katan. Now we know Mayit Katan, one of the main subjects discussed in Misakin Mayit Katan is Chol HaMayit. And we know that on Chol HaMayit there is an Isser Malacha. According to some Rishonim, it's an Issa Malacha which is Midya Raisa. According to some, it's the Rabbanin, and there's possibly a middle Shita. But it says in the beginning of Hilchas Chol HaMoed that there are five categories of Malacha which are permitted on Chol HaMoed. Number one, you have Davar HaAved. If there is financial loss involved, you have Tzorchi Moed, like let's say Oichel Nefesh and so on, you can do. You have a third category of a poyel she'ein loy ma yoichel, fellow who is really hard up, discussion in the poskim, if it means literally he doesn't have what to eat, or perhaps he has what to eat, but times are very tough for him. We have tzarchi rabim, and we have maise hedyut, like just sewing on a button and so on. So, Taman Taninin was the gears of the Gra. He said, Misagin Sedrachim, and so on. So we learned over there, Eilen Tzarchi Rabim, what is considered to be Tzarchi Rabim, which is permitted to do on Chol HaMoed. Eilen Tzarchi Rabim, Donan Dini Mominus, Vidini Nefashis, Dini Makis, Upoidin Erchin Vecharamim, Vehekdeshe, so you can Dan Dini Mominus, Dini Nefashis, Dini Makis, and there is a discussion that if one dons Dini, let's say Dini Makis and so on, Dini Nefashis, how is that going to impact Simchas Yom Tov? There's an obligation of Simchas Yom Tov. There's also a problem of inu yadin, you're not allowed to leave over the din, but certainly to pask in these things, we're saying you could do. Upaidin erchin v'charamim v'ektashis, you can redeem various things like erchin v'charamim v'ektashis. Umashkin es as-saita, one is also able to do the test for the saita. V'sarfin es apara. The orphan eglarufa, one is able to decapitate the eglarufa, varates in evit ivri, umitarnes and matsera, umifarkinis aminol me'al gabi, some of the gears of ha'imum. One is able to remove the shoe from the metal mold with which you kind of form and fashion the shoe on. That you're allowed to do, like the Tiklin Chadin says over here, she'enid sarach umen. It's not necessary to have a professional just remove it, whereas the ein machzir in isar, but you're not allowed to be a machzirit because you need skill and agility and so on. Akobanim, those are some of the things which are mentioned that one is allowed to do on chalamayit. So again, here it mentions Taman Tanin, and we learned over there. It could be that this is what the goyin meant. You should take out those words and be makdim it earlier. A mashkin beis hashlachin, you're also allowed to water an irrigated field, meaning a field which requires irrigation. Umitzainin ala kvaris. And so too, you can go ahead and mark the kvaris. We learned in the Mishnah that there would be mitzain the kvaris in the month of Adar, and we said the reason why it was the end of the rainy season, and it could be that the lime which was used has since been washed away. And in order that people would not become Tomei, they would be Mitzayin the Kvaris, that they did in the month of Adar. Now we're learning that this was done in Chol HaMoed. So imagine, if you will, Chol HaMoed Pesach, we're saying that one is Mitzayin the Kvaris. U'mitzayin, and it's a Kvaris. Frek the Gemara, and this is why we're bringing this whole list, Loi Kvar Tzinu Mi'Adar, but weren't they Mitzayin the Kever fairly recently? In the month of Adar, why is it necessary a couple of weeks later, literally a few weeks later, to be mitzayin it again? Surely if you put on fresh lime, that is going to last a long time, says the Gemara. But Tipater, we can explain and interpret the Gemara over there, the Brace over there, and Ma'id Katan, Sheyarid Shetif Shol Gishamim V'Shatfu. There was an unusually strong rainfall which washed away the fresh lime, hence the Bryce is saying that there is a heter to be mitzayin the kvaris, were you, if you would so need to do so, in chanami, it could be al pi roiv, it would be unnecessary to do so, but if it's necessary, one is allowed to do so. Now, we said also, v'yotzin af al hakilayim, that we said that one is yotze af al hakilayim, so, frag the Gemara, loy kvar yotzu mi'adar. Same question, but didn't they recently go out in the month of Adar? Why would it be necessary to do this on Chol HaMoed? Like Vayotzim Adar Tipata Shohaisa Shona Afela, we will say we're speaking in a case where the Paris or the Hirakis, it was a late bloom. The Taklin says that it was a Shona Mulcheris, Kleima Sheichru Hazroyim Litzmayach, Valo Ayunikarim. So in the 15th of Adar, it was not yet Nikar. Therefore, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, that would be something which they could do also, because it was a late bloom. They were not Nikar. Good. So one of the things we mentioned was that they would be Mitzayin. So says the Gemara, Minayin Litzioin. For what is the source which teaches us the obligation of tzion, or the way that the Tiklin says is hecha remiza bakra, and that's the lashon of the Gemara elsewhere, that where is it merumiz, the concept of being mitzayin? Possibly what the Tiklin Chazitin is doing is kind of saying that it's not a formal, full-fledged chiyuv midyaraisa, but it's just a remez that this is appropriate to do in order to prevent tumah. So where is the remez of to be mitzayin a kever? Reb Brechia, Reb Yaakov Bar Bas Yaakov b'shem Reb Chunya de Bras Chavron. I'm going to hear a very, very long, I think I counted 39 words of names of Amoraim who are saying this. Rav Brechia, Rav Yaakov Bar, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, in the name of Rav Chunya, the Bras Chavron. Rav Yosef Amri La, he said, Rav Yaakov Bar Acha B'Shem Rav Chunya, the Bras Chavron. Rav Chizkia, Rav Uziel Bray, the Rav Chunya, the Beis Chavron, B'Shem Rav Chunya, the Beis Chavron. Whoever it was who said it, V'tamei, Tamei Yikra. So the remez is from the pasuk Tamei Tamei Yikra. We know this is a pasuk by Tumas Taras. What does the pasuk say? Vatzarua sheboy hanega. The God of you frumim bereishia farua va'al safa miyate. The Tamei Tamei Yikra. According to many rishonim, it means that he himself needs to say, "I'm Tamei. I'm Tamei. Don't come near to me." So we're saying this is the remez, again, like we're saying, it's not necessarily a chi of deraisa from here, but it's a remez that sheteha tuma kerlocha befiat, as if the source of tuma, just like by the mitzera, he is the source of tuma, and he needs to warn people, don't come in my vicinity. I'm tummy, so to all other sources of tuma, like if you have a mace buried in the ground, the source of tuma, so to speak, is kerlecha b'fiyah. It's calling out v'yemeres lecha preish, and it's saying keep your distance. That is the concept of.
Why are we only asking if the smachta by this?
I'm sorry.
Why are we asking here for this smachta? We didn't ask about some of the other things in the Mishnah. This is that we do for.
The question is why are we asking only by this as opposed to other things in the Mishnah? Like what, Lamasha? Let's think. We mentioned the basic din of the Mishnah Meshkin al Shkolim, and there we brought a source for that. And then we said Kilayim, we mentioned Kilayim, and we mentioned the reason why one would do so. Here we're saying that there's an obligation to do so. The question is, why Bechlal is there an obligation to do so? Meaning you would say, what, this is something which is Misvara.
Misvara, just like we fixed the world, so this is Misvara. You want to protect the people, you want. Just like you fixed your road, because it's a logical thing to do, you're looking after people, so same thing.
Interesting, and maybe that's why Gufa, Bobby's saying, that just it's a logical thing to do, why do we need a source? Maybe that's also why the Gemara just says remez. I mean, the way the Tikkun Chatatin and elsewhere in the Bavli, it says remez. Whereas there is a remez, Ba'alma, I mean, if we have a remez from a pasuk, we'd like to be able to bring it, so then it happens to be we have a remez for the Enochanami, it's not a full-fledged Chiyav Gomor, otherwise your question would be stronger. Good. So, Meres Lachaparish. Reb Ila B'Shem Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman has a different source. Meaning it says, V'avru ha'ayuvrim v'aretz urei etzav adam ubana etzlei tzion. So the Pasuk in Yecheskel, and we're going to darshan five of these words in the Pasuk to teach us different types of tzionim. I mean, the people passed over in the land, and they saw the bone of a man, and they built next to it a tzion, something which was distinguished. So we darshan and we say the following. Etzem, the word etzem teaches us mikan shemitzayin al watzamis. From here we learn that one is mitzayin, one marks bone. If you look at the tiklin directly across, al watzamis, afapishnis akel habasar. Even though all of the flesh is no longer around, it's all dis. What is the word I'm looking for?
Decomposed.
Thank you so much. It's all decomposed, and all you have is just the bones. Avavishnis akla basim mikomakim mitame ba'oyhel. He is for reivakav. If there's a certain measurement of, if there's a shear of a reivakav, it is mitame. So from etzem we learn your mitzayin alatzomis. What do we learn from the word adam? Mikan shemitzayin al hashidra v'hagulgolus. From here we learn the concept of making some type of a mark for a spine and for a skull. Again, says the tiklin al hashidra afabi she'enan ela etzem echod. It's just one single bone, that vertebrae, the spine, just the spine. Even though it's one bone, that it has a hashivus. That is the adam, so to speak. Ubana, it says ubana lashin binyan. So we're going to dash the mikan shemitzayin al gabi evin kavua, meaning if you have some type of a tombstone, some type of a stone which is in the ground, meaning it's a lashna binyan, it's attached to the ground as opposed to a loose stone. So mikan shemitzayin al gabi evin kavua, were you to say it's referring to being Mitzayin, a detached stone, af he hoylech is a matamba b'makam acher. It's moving around, it's from place to place. It's not going to help you to be Mitzayin over here when it's constant. It's a moving target. It's constantly moving. Again, says the Tiklin over here, al gabi evan kavu ala kever, dahochi mashma lishna dekra ubona, she mechuber kibinyan. So it is something, it's something which is attached to the ground. Lafuki evan hamizgalgel. So that's what we learn from the word ubana. Then it says etzloi, adjacent to it. So lamakim tahara, lamakim tahara. So etzloi teaches me lamakim tahara. What does that mean, lamakim tahara? So if you look in the end of the Ramaschal, etzloi lamakim tahara, actually maybe let's just see the whole thing. He says, etzlei lemakim tahara midleiksiv ubana alav. Why didn't it say you'll build on top of it? Ela etzlei, you'll build next to it. Mashma shehatzion al gabi makim tahara. That the actual tzion, the place where you make this marking, is actually on top of a place which is tar. Al gabi makim tahara she'etzel hakever mitzayin, meaning your mitzayin next to, adjacent to, the actual kever, and so on. He says at the end of the Dibur, he says, Lakach eisen atzin samach letuma, bericho ktsas, uch dechshaba al tzien margish, v'eina ha'ilech ala tuma. You know, Rahman looks on a person, you know, has an accident or breaks down in the car, so they take out something and they put it, you know, 20 meters before the car is, so people on the motorway are able to see out in the distance that, you know, there's something up ahead, there's a hazard ahead, and so on. So etzla, you don't put it on the actual place, but you put it next to, so that people are, you're able to warn people in advance.
What do you call next to? Because
it doesn't say, it says makam ktas. It says berichuk ktas. So, you know, I mean, we're going to see in the Gemara a little bit more as to what does it mean next. We're going to have a case where you've got two tziyunim, and now we're going to assume that the place in between is the place of tumah, similar to what we have by a Beis HaKvaros, and by a regular kever. You have a headstone, and you have something sometimes by the foot of the mace, and you know that the area in between is where the mace rests. So that is warning someone that in between. Well, the Gemara is going to speak it out. And finally we say, tzioin mikan l'tzioin. From here, we see the basic concept of tzioin. The commentator says, sho'isin simon, meaning from here it's telling us that all the aforementioned require a clear marking to show and to warn that these are places which require some type of a marking. Now, we say like this, umotze even achas mitzuyenes, if you find one stone with lime on it, with a sign on it. So apopisha ein mekayimin kain, even though perhaps one shouldn't be mekayim it, and we'll see what this means. We'll see what that means. Hamahil olav tomei. Someone who is mahil upon it is tomei. So why? We'll see the mafarsh in a second. Ani Omer, like the Bavli says, Shani Omer, because I would say, Meis Mutsuyin, Bahayanosin Tachtel, because I would say that there was a mace who was there, and the mace is underneath it. So let's just see the way the Tikkun Chadidin explains this. He says like this, if you look at the Dibor of Apopish Ein Mekaimin, a person really is supposed to distance the marking from the tumah. If a person made the marking on the actual tumah itself, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to kind of move the marking away from the actual place of the tumah in order to warn the person. Meaning, if it's not clear, if you just have a marking and you have no indication, is it to the right, to the left, to the north, to the south, like you don't know exactly, you just have a marking there on top of a stone, you have no way of knowing northwest, southeast, And therefore, you have to assume that it is actually the place directly underneath. So you're not supposed to do that. But if you've got two markings, then you know, oh, clearly the tomb is in between. Or if you've got some other marking with an arrow, you know the tomb is over there. But if you just have one single marking, but without any other knowledge, the assumption is it's going to be underneath. So again, you're not supposed to have that. Hamal Allah Tami. Someone who is mal on it is Tami. Ani Omer, because I would say Meis Mitzuyin Vayinas and Tachter. Now Hayushdayim, but if there were two markings, Hamal Alehen Tahar, so one who is mal over the markings is Tahar, Ubeinayen Tamei. But between the markings, you're going to be Tamei, and that is logical. You've got a marking over here. You've got a marking 6 feet next to it. You know that the section in between is Tamei. Im hayachirish bein time, if there was a charisha which was done in between the two markings, so one assumes that the grave was the bones were exhumed and the mace was dug up and so on. Harei hein ki yechidiyos. We look at these two markings now as if they themselves have tuma directly underneath it, because the area in between the two markings has since been plowed. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that there's a mace in between them anymore. And therefore, harei hein ki yechidiyos. And therefore, beinehen is tahar, between them is tahar. Visvivei sayin, tami. But around the actual place of the marking, one has to assume that is where the mace is. Tani, we learned in a raisa, ein mitzayin in al habasa. If all you have is flesh, let's say you don't, the halacha is one has to bury anything from a mace. Even if it's just flesh, even if there's no bones, it's just a piece of flesh, it requires kavura. Tani, ein mitzayin al habasa. One is not mitzayin if there was a piece of flesh which was buried. Why? Shemen is akel, because it decomposed, and it can decompose fairly quickly. Shemen is akel habasar. And what's going to happen? People, let's say you put a tzion. So people will think, this place is Tommy. So henceforth, anyone who mistakenly is mahel over this area will say, oops, all of my kodshim, all of my tyrus, my truma, everything became Tommy. It's not true. There was flesh there. It decomposed 200 years ago. There's nothing there whatsoever. You have nothing to worry about. Don't be sorif your truma and your kodshim unnecessarily. Chaval. You're not allowed to do that. So therefore, it's adif not to put any tzion, because worst case scenario, maybe someone will come and be mal over it, but being that the flesh decomposes fairly quickly, then you don't have to do it. One might have thought that you might kind of say, here there was flesh, and you would write Toshin Pe'alef or something, Nissen Toshin Pe'alef, and therefore a person, at least you would guard, you would be able to protect people for the next X amount of time, however long it takes to decompose. But we're saying it's not done. You don't put any type of a tzion whatsoever.
You can have, for example, archaeologists, you're not sure which area that
it's been. I'm sorry, what do you mean? What do you mean to say? Well, we're not discussing bones over here. Bones for sure. If it's a bone, you have to make it tzion. We're discussing if it's just flesh. I don't know, Rabbi Tzatz, after how long does flesh decompose in the grave? Do you know?
Yes, on the conditions. It's way too
dry. On a normal ballpark figure.
It's dry. It can stay thousands of years. The flesh is dried up.
Oh, I see. So if it's dried up flesh, it can stay for a long time. But if it's fresh, presumably, it's.
Well, we see with Pinamiat Tombas, when they bury them in the cooking in the ground, within the year they transfer further. There's no more flesh left. There's only bones, actually.
So you're pointing out that within a year it's definitely gone. The flesh decomposes within a year. Right, yeah. So I'm not sure exactly, but clearly the Gemara is saying that the amount of time that it remains is not long enough to justify the damage which you will do by having a tzion there forevermore, because then a person is going to be served their truma, their kodshim, unnecessary. So again, Tani Emitzayin al Habasa. Why Sheman is Akal Habasa? Rav Yusta bar Shunam bo kumi Rav Mana valininta metame taris lemafreya. But surely there might still be problem problem with Tyrus, which were mahal over that area. It's preferable to do this as opposed to having for the rest of time the Tyrus and the Truma being nisras unnecessarily. Okay, good. Let us see. So what do we say? Back to the first Mishnah we said that on Rosh Chodesh Adar there would be Mashmi' al Hakilayim, and they would say, Rabbi, it's the end of, we're getting towards the end of the winter. Maybe your fields have overgrown. Maybe there's Kilayim there. Go check it out. Now we said that, and we said towards on the 15th, V'yotzin af al Kilayim. They'd actually go out on Kilayim. So now we're coming to explain a little bit more what that means. So, Amr Yehuda Brishena, how you Eikrin Umashlichin Lefneim. Originally, what would they do? They would go and they would uproot the Kilayim and they would throw it down on their property. The Farshim say they did this to be Mevayish them. Meaning, we told you this Kilayim there, and we know that there's an Easter even to maintain Kilayim in your field. You're not allowed to maintain Kilayim in your field, even if you didn't do a Pa'ula, it's also to be Mashe Kilayim. So they would go ahead. But once people were doing this and they said, you know what, I don't care that the Bez didn't go ahead and uproot a Mikulayim for me. In fact, I'm actually quite pleased about it, as we'll see in a minute why. So, what do they do? Instead of throwing it back on their property, they would throw it out onto the street. And eventually, skinushu mafkirin eskol asadeh. Eventually, there they enacted that the whole field becomes hefker. So the Gemara will explain. Amr Yehuda Tani. Amr Yehuda Berishena hayu eikrin mashlichin lifneihem. Initially, what do they do? They would uproot and they would throw it in front of them, as we mentioned, to be mevayishtem. They weren't so mevuyish. They weren't so embarrassed. V'hayu smeichem shtei smachis. They were happy for two reasons. Achas. Shahoyu menachshin sodeisein. Number one, thank you very much. You have weeded my field. You've removed the weeds from my field. Achas, and a second reason, shahoyu nenin min hakilayim. A second reason is because they were nana from the kilayim. Why? Why were they nana? Because they threw it on their fields. Their animals would eat it. So, you know, they were quite pleased about the whole thing. And therefore, Mishrabo Yavavera, with the proliferation of Oyravera, who didn't care about this, what do they do? Are you mashlichin al hadrachim? They would therefore go and throw it into the public derech, into the public domain. In the public domain, this way it's going to get trampled on, and therefore they're not going to be able to benefit from it. Afobike, nevertheless, are you smeichim? They were still happy. Shayu menachashin sodisayim. Because at least, you know, one out of two ain't bad. At least if they, you are removing the weeds from my field, hiskinu shu mafkirin kol hasadeh kula. Therefore, they made a takana. Your whole field is hefker, and it is fair game. Anyone can come in and take whatever they want from your field, and that served as a deterrent. So they were mafker. Now we know that hefker is potter min ha-maestros. So if you have something which is real hefker, then it is potter min ha-maestros. The Gemara now is going to get into a discussion as to what actually is the koyach of Beis Din. And it's very interesting. The Achronim have a discussion, it's based on this Gemara, at least this is one of the sources, as to what are, when there is some type of a din derabanan, how does that impact a din deraisa? Meaning, if something is hefker, real hefker, it's potem and amaisris. The rabbanim come along and they're going to say it's hefker. So midiraisa, it's not hefker. Really, midiraisa is not hefker. So do we say that because midiraisa is not hefker, therefore midiraisa it is tevel gomor, and it's mechuyev in trumas and maestros? Or do we say no, that the rabban have the koyach to now impact on the midiraisa, and to say even midiraisa it's not tevel. There's no misa de shemaim if you eat it, it's not mechuyev in trumas and maestros, and so on. So the Gemara says like this.
Sorry, Rabbi, don't we say normally that the rabbi have got the koyach la'akor, you wait a while?
The question is, the Rabban have a teir to be Eikra Dov Min HaTeiris. So to be Eikra Dov Min HaTeiris, but B'Shev Al Taz is usually used in a different context. The Rabbanim can say, don't blow Shofar. Don't take Lulav. Right? That's, you know, so they are being Eikra, the mitzvah to kill Shofar, the mitzvah to kill Lulav, B'Shev Al Taz. Here what they're saying is your field is Hefker. You may now go ahead and eat this, the produce of the field, and no problem whatsoever. So let's see. Says the Gemara like this. So the Gemara says, "Minayin shehefker bezdin hefker." Where do you know the hefker bezdin hefker? This concept, the chsiv, the halasha leyabay l'shleishis hayomim ba'atzas hasarim v'haskedim. Meaning, it was time to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and Ezra was having, so to speak, a difficult time getting people to come back. People were well entrenched in Babylonian society, and many of them had married out, and so on. And he had to go ahead and pull out the big guns. And he said, anyone who does not come within 3 days, so then I will confiscate the property. And this individual will be set aside. So that is the source of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. I mean, that's one, the one pasuk, the one and only pasuk which the Gemara here brings. Elsewhere, the Gemara Gittin brings a second pasuk, and there is an interesting discussion as to, is the koyach of Hefker Bezdin Hefker only to be mafkir something, or can they actually transfer ownership? Can they transfer ownership from one to the other, and so on, or can they just be mafkir it? And there's lots of nafkaminis.
On every rabbonon, there's a thraisa. It means that you're going to listen to rabbonon.
Correct. I mean, so that is a big discussion. How every derabbanan, according to the Rambam, Machlekes Rambam and Ramban, as to exactly what does Leif Sasser do? I mean, it's a big discussion. If every derabbanan is considered to be a deraisa, why do we say Safik derabbanan lakula and so on? But that's a big discussion as to how, what is the relationship between derabbanans and deraisa? Al kopanim. So this is the source of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Says the Gemara, Minayin shi p'turim in amaisrus. So where do we know that it's actually p'turim in amaisrus? So take a look directly across at the Tiklin Chazatin. Minayin shi p'turim in amaisrus. The Hefker Gomor shifkiru b'aylav yofin and lami krashi p'turim in amaisrus. About the Hefker Gomor we know is potter from maisrus. That we learn from Psukim. Umi boile I have hefker bezdin kumeshit kiru bailov lafkia afmina maisrus. The shaila is it a real hefker that it's actually potter from maisrus? The afshekvar lo madnu del inyan liskis ba have hefker bezdin hefker the yachomisha rates a liskis ba. At least it's fair game. Someone is allowed to come into this avarian's field and take the produce from the field. However, Dilma lafkia mi maestros lehavi hefker. Maybe the Chachamim were not interested in uprooting and removing the chiyu of maestros. The das bezdin gufayu efshar lehavi el lafkia schusididei deha oiver. Perhaps the only thing they were interested in was removing the power, the schus, the bilus, of the avarian, of the sinner, the transgressor. Mm-hmm. Meaning, perhaps they're not coming to uproot the schus of the levim who didn't do anything wrong. Or perhaps, given the hefker bezdin avi hefker lako areitz aliskas bashuv leikarina beki ein leichelik v'nach leimach, and therefore that is the shaila of the gemara. The way that Tikkun Chazan explains, it seems to be clear that the rabban have the koyach to do so. It's just a question as to what was their intention when they did it. Not that the Gemara is mistopic, do they have the power to do so? But Al Kabana, that is the shot of the Gemara, that Minayin, that when Bezdin say, Hefker Bezdin Hefker, in this particular case, that it is Ptura Mina Maestris. So, Rabbi Yonasan Bereid, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Acha. Shmala Min Hada. Bring a proof from the following, like a Toshma in the Bavli. Shema lo min hada, ein ma'abrin es ha-shono, loy ba-shriyiz, v'loy b'matzoy shriyiz, v'imibru ha-reizim u-beris. So one is not allowed to be ma'abr the year, to create an Iber Yar, a Shana Muberes, to add a second Adar, with all, but if they did it, then Harizim Muberes. So if they did it in the Shemitah year, next year, it's coming up, or in the following year, the din is, it is Muberes, and what the Gemara means to say, what we're saying is, that all of the dinim of Shemitah will apply. All the dinim of Shemitah will apply. We know that Shemitah is part of Mitzvahs and Maestros. So the Bezdin, they are the ones who have the ability to be Ma'abra the year. They're not supposed to be Ma'abra the Shemitah year and have a 13th month in the Shemitah year. We'll see why. They're not supposed to be Ma'abra the year after Shemitah. We'll see why. But if they did it, then it works, it's chal, and inyaneinu, legabi, the raya we're trying to bring, the raya is going to be that therefore in the Shemitah year, if they're ma'abrit, it is ma'uber, it's got the 13th month, and Adashani's got all the dinim of Shemitah with all the trimmings, including the p'tur of trimmers and maestris, in which case that is going to be the proof that you see that when the chachamim do something, it's able to impact the diraisis and so on. Arezim uberes. Now, is it to do with Baal Tesef? No. No, no, no. We're going to see the reason in a minute. Says the Gemara, the Chodesh Echad Shu Meisiv Loi Potter Mi Meisrasu. And surely this month, which was added, it's going to have all the dinim, meaning, like we said, Imi Brua Reizim Uberis. If they're Ma'abrit, it's Ma'ubra works, meaning, Pirish, it's going to be Potter Mi Meisras. So that is basically going to be the proof. The Gemara is going to kind of interject for about 7 or 8 lines with a parenthetical piece almost, as to what actually is the reason why you're not supposed to be Ma'aber the Shemitah year. What is the reason why you're not supposed to be Ma'aber the year post-Shemitah? And then we're going to come back to the Rai, which was brought, and question it. So first the Gemara says, let's just speak out. What is the reason why? What is the reason why one is not supposed to be Ma'aber the Shemitah year? Why shouldn't you make a 13th month? So that's the Rishonim say, the Gemara says, also because Tiklun Chadin says, Bekitzel lefi shema'arichin olayu iser avodas karka. V'lo yimtsu me'ayin lahavi ha'omer v'shtei alechem. You are prolonging the difficulty the challenge, I should say, of avodas karka, and therefore you're not supposed to do that. So says the Gemara, at kadein shvius. I understand the basic rationale why not to be Ma'abr the Shemitah year, because you are prolonging it, and that's going to prove challenging. But Tzai Shvius, Mai, what is the reason why they should not be Ma'abr the year after Shemitah, the first year of the Shemitah cycle? But Tzai Shvius, Mai, so Amar Rabbi Avin, Rabbun, Shalai Lirbois Be'isr Chodesh, in order not to be Marbe the Isr Chodesh. Don't be marbe the Isser Chodesh. So he explains over here. He says like this. Shalalir Abayis Lepisha Hayoshen Kvar Kala Beshvius, meaning we know that there is an Isser to eat from the new grain until the Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan. Now, in the year post-Shemitah, says the Tikkun Chazitin, Shayoshen Kvar Kala, Bashvius, the old grain has since been consumed, Valei Nimtzit Shminis Kiyim Chodesh, and you have just the new grain, and now, meaning there was a limit to the amount of grain which was available. Now, the year afterwards, when everyone really needs kind of all the grain which is available, and we need the Omer, the 16th of Nisan, to come ASAP, because there's a limit to the grain which we have, and now, by adding a second Adar, you are prolonging, and thereby making it difficult, because all we have is new grain. So, Shalilir Beis Be'isr Chodesh, Rebzir B'Shem Reb Elazar, Hadoda At Amar Ad Shalei Ah. Fine, so that is the reason why, they're not Ma'abed the Shemitah year, because you're prolonging the Isra B'Gedis Karka, and that's going to impact on them being able to bring the Oyman Nishtei Alechem, and you're not Ma'abah the year afterwards, because it will prove challenging regarding the Dinim of Chodesh and Yashem. Now the Gemara just says this, which we learned in the Braisa, that you're not supposed to be Ma'abah the Shemitah year, or the year after the Shemitah year, says the Gemara, Hadodat Omar, this that you said, actually it's a Rebbe, Lahavi Yerek Mechutzar, it's Aretz. This is only before and during the period of time that Rebbe forbade importing goods from Chutz La'aretz La'aretz. Avo Mishahita Rebbe Lahavi Yerek Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz, Hishvis, Hishol Shai Shnei Shavua. Once you're allowed to import, then the difficulty is not as great. Then we will equate Shvius with any other year. If you look at the Tiklin Chad, then a few lines before the lines become wide, Aval Hita, Av Mishahita, Yerek, Vuadin Tzvua, He, Shvius, Delayla Mutter, La'aber, Shari Yechilim, La'avi, Tzvua, Mechutz La'aretz, you can bring grain from Chutz La'aretz, Yim Tzvua, La'avi, Al'ema, V'shtei Alechem, Ma'asvichim, and just for the Omen V'shtei Alechem, you will find svichim, the stuff which crops up by itself. There's only a small amount which you need to bring, and therefore the hardship has greatly been reduced, and there is no problem. If we go over here with the gears of the Gra, in Gimel, he says we're not gears the words tani ein ma'abrin. We just take out that for two dots, and we now speak about this that we said that you're not ma'aber the eighth year, Amar of Mana, Hadada at Omar, that which you said you're not ma'aber the eighth year, Hadada at Omar, Barishina Shahayu Ashanim Ketiknan, when the years kind of went normally, Aval Akshav Shaina Ashanim Ketiknan, now when the years are not necessarily the way they should be, so says the Gra, the Giras is, He Matsai Shvi is, He shar shnei shivua. There's nothing special anymore about the first year in the Shemitah cycle as opposed to any other year. If you look at that Gris Agra, he says, V'hachi perushay, dela olam ma'abrin, you can be ma'abr the first year of the Shemitah cycle, dela ich paslehem ma'ashenarech isachadosh, debalav haki eina ro'uya adayin lechol. Because anyway, it takes that much longer for the crops to grow and to develop. And anyway, it's not going to impose such a hardship, and therefore, there's no problem to do so. Then Matzi Shvius is like any other time of the year. One more line, Tani Shalbeis Rav Gamliel, Ibrua B'Matzi Shvius Miyad. And we see that that's what they did in the house of Rav Gamliel, meaning nowadays it's different, and they were Ma'aber the year following the Shemitah. Now, going back to the original Raya, we had a Shaila. We wanted to know, yes, we learn out from the Pasuk in Ezra that Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Our question is, but if we say Hefker Bezdin Hefker, is there going to be a Ptur from Trumas and Maestras? Or is there not going to be a Ptur from Trumas and Maestras? So what was the proof? And the proof which Rabbi Yonason brought was that it says you're not supposed to be Ma'abra the Shemitah year, but if you were Ma'abra the Shemitah year, and it means it's got all of the dinim of Shemitah. One of the dinim of Shemitah is there's a Ptur of Trumas and Maestras. So that's going back to the Raya. So on that, says the Gemara, four lines on the bottom, Amar of the Oven, In min hadah les at shma min haklum. If that's your proof, you have no proof whatsoever. Says the Tiklin, three lines on the bottom, Adela el mahadalak shui adher Nachum Rabbi Yitzchak shechich mehach to ma'abrin b'shvius to hefker bezdin poter me'maaser. If that's your raya, you don't have a raya. Why? Shemar es chedesh aviv. The pasuk says shemar es chedesh aviv. Sheim reyush yaviu b'chidushay. You need to go ahead and manipulate the calendar in a way that Pesach falls in the spring. So what is the Gemara saying? Says the Tiklin Chazatin, two lines in the bottom, Shiavoye b'chidushe v'achi kamakra. What's the Pasuk saying? It's saying, Shemar es chedesh nisan shel chama, shuzman aviv, shiye b'chidushe shel levane shel nisan, ulefika hayum ha'abrin, kedei shiyavi tamid b'chidusha. Meaning, that the reason why the Chachamim do this is because v'imkein mitiyoraisa tzorch la'aber. It's a din d'oraisa to do it. Your whole proof is, how do I know that the Chachamim, if the Chachamim do something with the koyach of the Chachamim, then it has implications to pater from Trumas and Maestras even mid'oraisa. And you bring a raya from, if they're ma'aber, don't bring a raya from Ibra Shana. Ibra Shana there is a Torah obligation to ensure that Pesach falls in the spring. Again, says the Tiklin, in game midyarais etzach la'aber ella tibeshvi is deichen ha'ibor. Usually they try and push it off if they can. Elim ibru muberes kedina diarais hilchach lekel mishmam yino. You can't prove anything from there because there they're working in tandem together with the koyach with the din diaraisa. So you don't have a raya from there, says the Gemara. But rather the haida. Amrinan da. Alamai, the Rai is from this. Again, we have to get used to all these Lashonis. The Tiklun says, last line, Vahayda, Amr da, Ela Mehechen Muchach. So from where is the proof? From the Mishnah in Peah. Dodish, we look at Tachtov. So you have Leket. Leket, it says, La'ani ulager tazev, you have to leave it. What did this farmer do? He went ahead and he piled up his great big Godish on top of the Matnas Aniyim, on top of the Leket. So Godish, shall I look at Tachtov? Aniyim didn't yet have a chance to go and gather the Leket. We say, anything which touches the ground belongs to the Aniyim. They get to keep it. It belongs to the Aniyim. And it is potter from Chumas and Maisers, the Amr Ba'ami, the Shem of Shimon Lakish. So he says, the Beishamai. Well, we're going to have to say that Mishnah must be going like Beishamai. Beishamai Shita is that Hefker La'aniyim is considered to be Hefker, and therefore it's possible to go ahead and patter it. But according to Beis Hillel, who says there's no such thing as Hefker La'aniyim only, it's not going to work. Dika Beis Hillel, Aniyim, Oichlin, Umasrin, surely they would have to eat it, and they would have to take Meister. But says the Gemara of Amalei Rabbi Yosi, no, Shemanu, Shupater, Mimaisa, Divriakol, Mishum Knosa. The Chachamim said, look, Mr. Farmer, we're supposed to give the Aniyim an opportunity to go and gather the Leket. You didn't do so, anything which touches the ground, even though invariably there's going to be your Schoira there also, your produce there also. I'm sorry, the whole thing now is considered to be Matnas Aniyim, and it's going to be Potter, Mishum Knas. If you look at the Tiklin, 3-4 lines down, Kedivra Kol Mishum Knas, Zekeven de Konsu Rabbanin, Nehifkiru, Hanegez Ba'aretz Hareu, Kehefker Bezdin, Upotemi Maisrus, Vishmamino, the Hefker Bezdin Poiter, Min HaMaiser. In which case, we have a Raya to our Shaila that Hefker Bezdin is Hefker, and it is Potter Min HaMaisrus. Okay, I guess we will.